believe for miracles. I believe for wonders to happen. And we're just going to have a good time in the presence of the Lord. And you receive your breakthrough, what you need to have. Well, we're in the midst of a series. We're calling it Family Steps. And we started with talking to singles, and we talked about different topics last week. Pastor Larry and Deidre were here and talked about the priorities within the family. We want to continue this morning, and we're going to talk about step up your finances. Step up your finances. You will have received a sheet when you came in. Encourage you to fill it out as we go today and take these thoughts home with you. Here's your first fill-in. How you handle your finances is a test. Is a test. You know, even hearing a topic like this is a bit of a test. Oh, message on finances, eh? And sometimes there's a little, we just get a little edgy. Well, I don't know. Should really the church be teaching about finances? In fact, some pastors are a little afraid to talk about finances because, you know, the knock sometimes people say about their, well, all the church wants is their money, is your money. So that's all they're after is your money, which you know is not the case, but that's the, what's mentioned. So a lot of people don't want to talk about money. Well, the thing is, they should have told Jesus about this because Jesus talked a whole lot about money. In fact, he sat with his disciples and watched what people put in the treasury. Not just their giving, but how much they gave. And he talked to his disciples. He said, see those men, what they gave a lot of money. But he said, this widow woman who just put in the small little mite, said she gave more than all the rest. And so he very much was thinking about money. Because money is really the thing that's closest to us. We get edgy about money because, well, I give this to God, I give that to God, but don't touch my finances. Well, we need to ask ourselves, why don't we want to hear what God's word says about finances? And so it's a good test for us. And in the scripture, the Lord says that how we handle our finances is a test of faithfulness. Listen to these verses in Luke 16, verse 11. And if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, now we could just put the word money in there for unrighteous mammon, because that will give you the sense of what this means. If you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. Now, when Jesus puts it this way, he's talking for a reason here. And we need to hear. And we can deceive ourselves by saying, well, I'm a good Christian and I go to church and all of this, but you know, but money's my own. Don't talk about money. And so we need to realize the Lord puts it down as a test that if you are faithful in how you handle your finances, the Lord says, I will give you true riches. Well, what are true riches? True riches are the things that last forever. The things that we do in our life that will have eternal benefit. It's written in the scripture that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account of what we've done. If it's made of wood, hay, or stubble, it'll be burned up. But if it's made of gold, silver, and precious stones, it will last. And we want to receive a reward. And so we see that really what you do for Christ, how your energy and your involvement and how you increase God's kingdom on earth. He has an enterprise. He's doing something on this earth. He wants us to be involved in it. As we're involved in it, then we're really handling eternal things and valuable things and things that will last forever. So he's saying, if you can handle money right, then I'll give you true riches. It qualifies you to be used in the kingdom of God. Because the more you focus on money, and that is holding you and controlling you, the less you can do in the kingdom of God. So he says, how you handle your money, it's a test here. And if you're faithful in that, well, then I'm going to give you true riches. Now, there's two other tests in here, and which I'll just tell you on the way through. The first test is that if you're faithful in that which is little, I'll give you much. That's a message unto itself. And then the other one, if you're faithful in that which is another man's, I will give you your own. So there's three tests here. But this middle test is how you handle money. Now, your next fill-in is this. Money is to be the fruit of your life, not the root of your life. Now, what do we mean by this? Well, money is a medium of exchange. I offer a good or service somewhere to a person individually or to a company, and as a result of my giving my goods and services and extending my efforts and skills and abilities, they give me money. Then I take money as a medium of exchange, and I purchase that which I want or desire. And so money is the medium of exchange. Now, what God wants is for our money to be the fruit of our life. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I put effort and energy, and I apply myself here. And as a result of my work and effort and diligence, there's a fruit. I get a result from that. I get money. And so really, money is an extension of me. It's not something apart from me. I have contributed this, and so I have received money as a medium of exchange then to take and to purchase what I need. So if it's the fruit of my life, then it's just a result of my efforts and my work. If it's the root of my life, then I think first of money. And if I have money, then I can buy these things. And so actually, I would rather cut out the work part and the effort part. And I just want to have money. Because if I get money, and if I can take advantage of you and get some of your money, either by stealing or cheating or compromising, lying a little bit, getting the better of a deal at your expense, well, I get money. And that's okay if I win the lottery. Oh, that would be the greatest thing. Now I have all this money that's now my source where I'm drawing from, the root of my life, so I can get all these things that I need. And so the Lord says, be careful. It is a medium of exchange, and money's neutral. There's nothing wrong with money. It's just a medium of exchange. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's how you look at money. So if you think, and it's obvious, it seems natural that money is my source. Because if I have money, I can get all these things. But we have to see, money's not my source. God is my source. And so beyond my money, he will give me all that I need. And so I receive from him, I put effort forward, he's going to give me opportunities. Either it'll come through my labor or he just might bless me that I have been given something and as a result I have my needs met. Now he doesn't always use money. If you need something, sometimes he'll just give you that through someone else and money's not even involved. Or money can be involved because there's nothing wrong with money within itself. It's just whether is it a fruit or is it the root? If it's the root, you'll serve it. You'll love it. You'll think about it. You'll treasure it. It becomes the first thing in your life. If it's the fruit, well, then it's not the source. It's just the result of something else. And God is to be my source. That's why he says you can't love God and money. If you think of money as your source, then you're not going to love God. If you love God, then you're not going to think of money as your source. Now, this is just the basic teaching of Jesus. So how do we learn how to handle our money and the principles around finance? Well, it's the Bible. The best financial guide is the Bible. It's God-inspired. It's God-given. And there's so much written in the scripture of how to handle your money. This material isn't hard to understand. It's not like, oh, this is really difficult. I got to figure this out. The things of God around money is very easy. It's easy to understand, and actually it's easy to do. The only thing that's hard about it is if you have a hard heart. The harder your heart, the harder it is to do this. The more your heart is on money, then the less you're going to receive what God says you should do with your funds. But if you have a soft heart towards God and a faith toward God and love God, well, then it's easy not to love money because God is there. But if you're not loving God, you got to have some source. And so you need to sort of ask yourself, as you're sitting here, what's resisting in me about this? Is there something in me that's resisting this teaching? Is there something in me that is pushing back on this? You have to ask yourself, well, where is that coming from? Is it coming from the fact that I want to control my money? I don't want God to tell me what to do with my money because my money meets my needs. And I got this stinking suspicion that God might want me to give more than I'm giving, so I'm going to push back on that because if I give, I have less. See, this is the thinking that surrounds making money your source, having money as the root of your life. Don't touch the root. You're going to be killing something that I want. But if God is your root, well, then everything is sustainable. Everything else I can obey from an open heart before the Lord. So I put four questions on your notes that we're going to work our way through. Questions to check your financial faithfulness. If we're supposed to be faithful in financial things, what does the Bible teach us about these matters? Now, some we've already touched, but let's look a little closer at it. Number one, where do you turn to have your needs met? When you have a need, where do you turn to have your needs met? Now, we've already said, and we've read this verse, no one can serve two masters. Either hate the one, love the other. You'll be loyal to one and despise the other. But you can't do both. You can't serve God or money. He didn't say it's not good to. It's not best to. It's just you just can't do it. You'll either have God as your source or you'll have money as your source. You can't have it both ways. Now, we do sometimes. We'll pray and ask God for money. Lord, give me money. And our prayers are actually, we think we're doing good things. And then we get upset. Well, God didn't give me the money. I need the money. But we're not to ask God for money. We're to ask God to meet our needs. And it might involve money or it may not involve money. Because God is our source. These are simple things to understand. It's just difficult to get our minds renewed because it's so real. When I'm going to purchase something I need or want, it's usually using money. And so the natural thing is look at the money and make it your source rather than looking to God as your source. Listen to what it says in Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. You have to come to a reliance upon God. What you eat, what you wear, where you live, all your needs, the scripture says, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. And not to worry about it. It doesn't mean you don't give it some thought. You don't organize your life. You don't manage your funds. We're going to see that in a moment. That's necessary to do that. But you're not worrying about it. You only worry about it when you feel I may not have enough. I'm worried I won't have enough money to pay my bills. So I get upset and stress out over it. And the Bible says, don't do that. God knows your needs. You're his children. If he takes care of the sparrow and he clothes the lilies of the field, how much more does your father know your needs? He's not oblivious to your needs. He's aware of it. And so you just need to have comfort in that and realize God is my source. He's the one that's going to take care of me. You can relax. 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So it says those of us, whether you're serving God or not, and you have been able to accumulate enough money, your bank account is large enough, that you can relax and you begin to trust in it. But the scripture says, don't trust in that. It's uncertain. It can be gone in a moment. It can turn around. You can't trust in that. Your reliance, you'll never have a peace of mind if you're trusting in money, trusting in the stock market. It goes up and down, up and down. Or trusting in your job. Oh, what if I lose my job? You're trusting in something other than God. You need to be able to relax and not feel confident that I've got enough saved up. Don't become haughty. Don't trust in it. But in the living God who will richly. I love the word richly. God is not poor. He's not stingy. He knows your need. He blesses us abundantly if you'll put your trust in him. But it's amazing when you trust money and you're worshiping money and all your thoughts are on money and then you're asking God to give you money, then you think, God doesn't answer my prayer. I can't trust God. He doesn't give me any money. And you got to say, no, no, no. Money is not in this equation. And I'm not going to love money. I'm going to love God. I'm going to trust God. Here's the second question you can ask yourself around financial faithfulness. What do you seek to increase first? God's kingdom or your bank account? What are you working for? What are you thinking about? When you get up in the morning, are you thinking about how much money you need to earn? And it even gets worse if you're on commission. Because now it depends on me, and I need to make that sale, and I need to do this. And over and around it goes. Or if you're in business for yourself, there's a pressure that comes on you because you begin to trust in yourself and what you can do. And so you're thinking all the time, how can I get more comfortable? Or if you are comfortable, how can I get the nicer car? How can I go on that vacation? How can I get a nicer house? And so it's a rat race, even though you're comfortable. And folks, compared to the rest of the world, we are rich. I remember years ago when I was in India, we were Bible school students, and we were trying to get on this train, and a national was with us, and I couldn't speak the language. The national was with us, and he was getting us tickets to go to this place on the train. And he said to him, and he called us American. We were from Canada, but over there at that time, it was like, these are Americans, and they're very rich. They must have third-class sleeping accommodations. I still remember him arguing with this guy because he was saying, no, they just have to go and stand up. He says, no, they have to third-class sleeping accommodations, which, as it turned out, was a little metal ledge that came down and you slept on. And there was three high, and you slept on that overnight as you were traveling across India. And we were going on this distance. And he was saying, these are very, very rich. I remember thinking to myself when he's saying, these are very, very rich. I thought, rich? I don't have any money. I'm a Bible school student. But I thought, you know what? Compared to what they had at that time and looked at us, we were very rich. And this man was telling him how rich we were, and we had to get this accommodation. So I'm trying to say, it doesn't matter really what stage we're at compared to The people that God watches worship him this morning, this Sabbath day, this Sunday across the whole world, you know, he sees more than us. He sees the people in third world countries who walked over dusty roads to get there, and they have no vehicle, and they're going to walk home. He sees them worshiping, and he sees us worshiping. He hears their prayers, and he hears our prayers. I tell you, that convicts me many, many times, especially when you've had the opportunities we have to travel to other countries and be with them on a Sunday and worship. And I remember the time I was sitting in a service thinking, you know what? God sees these people, and he sees our church at home all at the same time. And how does he see how we use our funds and what we're concerned about and what we're worried about? And it made me realize, you know what? I shouldn't trust in just riches and try to get more. Listen to the verses here, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. If you'll seek God's first, put his kingdom above your own well-being as far as thinking I have to deal with this for myself. See, God will take care of you. And if you're working for God and you're trying to be a witness and you're trying to live your life according and you're handling true riches, you're about your father's business, not just your own business of trying to make some money. You're about your father's business. You're putting his interest above your own. You're sacrificing financial things for this. He says all these other things, I'll just add them to you. You don't even have to worry about it. And then 1 Timothy 6:9. But those who desire to be rich, they fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many troubles, many sorrows. You can focus on making yourself rich and you can accumulate funds, but you'll have a lot of sorrow with it. Lots of consequences come when you put money above other things. But if you put God first, it says he makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessings of the Lord are so much better than you trying to eke out and squeak out enough money at the expense of other people so I can live a good life. No, just relax. Relax in God. Seek his kingdom first. Here's the third one. Third question you can ask yourself about your finances. Are you in debt for depreciable items? Are you in debt for depreciable items? In other words, items that go down in value over time. You pay this amount for it, but then 2 months from now, it's worth less if you were to sell it. And it's worth less the next month. Some things go down in values. Other things appreciate in value. Like a house, it will appreciate in value. In normal times, there's always little blips, but homes go up in value over time. There are certain items that go up in value, but then there's other things that go down in value. And so, are you in debt for things that are going down in value? In other words, you want this thing, and you want it now. So you might even ask the Lord for it. Lord, would you help me get this? And what we mean by that, will you help me get the money so I can get this? So you pray a bit like that and nothing happens. So you say, okay, I'm going to go to the bank and I'm going to get some money that I don't have. I will borrow money that I don't have so I can get the thing that I want now. Now, after a month or two, not only do I owe the bank for what I purchased that at full price, but now the thing even is less value. So I owe and I'm paying interest to the bank on money that I have borrowed, and the thing I borrowed it for is getting lower and lower. Now that doesn't make sense, but that's what we do. It's an indication of how much you're in debt. shows who you're trusting in. If you're trusting in God, you pray for it and say, Lord, you know I need this. And I'm trusting for you to provide it. And you're not going to money to get it. You may not get everything you want in the moment you want it, but if you trust God, you're going to get more than you want, way beyond what you think. It's a test. It's a test of who you're trusting. Don't trust in money. It says in Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. So when you go to the bank and you borrow money and you borrow it from them, now you are servant to them. It's amazing all the things they can quiz you on and ask you about and have control over what you have, because the borrower is servant to the lender. We're not meant to put ourselves in a servant role. We are to only serve God and have him as your master. As we said, you cannot serve two masters. You'll love the one, hate the other. Now, a lot of us in our pocket could take out a card and it says MasterCard on it. I wonder where that name came from. MasterCard. But really, it is. It's so nice, so easy to get the funds. And you only have to pay a little bit back every month. But they're charging you 18% interest and gouging you. Listen, folks, this is worth coming this morning just for this. Never, ever use a credit card for credit. It is the craziest thing to do. If you are going to borrow, think a little bit and say, I can get a loan for a lot cheaper than 18%. But we have all these credit cards. Discover card, discover how to get bonds. American Express card to American distress. A Visa card, it's a Visa to a state of misery. And I've seen so many people crushed by debt. And it's so easy to get into debt because if I just need a little money to get this. It's not going to satisfy. It's going to put you into bondage. Don't live under that bondage. You know, most of us need a plastectomy. We have to get the plastic out. Get rid of the plastic. Now, I do have a MasterCard in my pocket. And I must have had this for 30 to 40 years. But when we first got it, Kay and I agreed, if there's ever a month that we cannot pay the balance, we will cut up the card. In all these years, I've never paid any interest on money I put on the MasterCard. I've always paid it off by the debt. And if I couldn't, I would have cut it up. Because I'm not going to be bondage to that. Now, sometimes you can use it. We get air miles. Kay flew down a few weeks ago to when her brother was dying, and she flew on air miles to go down there from the MasterCard. So if you're smart, you can do it, but you're not trusting in that. You can be a good manager of things, but you're not trusting in it. You're not getting in bondage to it. I can't tell you enough. Don't get into debt for things that go down in value. Put your trust in the Lord. Pray. Wait for God to meet your need. He many times is in the process of meeting your need, and you jump the gun and you go and borrow it. Where he was right in the process of moving to meet your need, and he was just waiting for you to put faith in him and to trust him. But you went and you trusted in money, in your own ingenuity. Or I can take a second job, or I can do this, and then it's detrimental to the family. Rather than trusting God and saying, I'm putting my faith in God and letting him show himself to be strong. I tell you, The greatest miracles in my life have been around finances. Trusting him, waiting for him, seeing him come through at the last moment. And then such an overwhelming sense of God's presence and his provision, where if I had to jump the gun, I would have missed that. I wouldn't have had that story to tell. Wouldn't have that miracle to share with someone else. You need to trust God. Put him first. See him work in your life. He knows what you need. Now here's the last question you should ask yourself around money. Do you have a plan for your money? Do you have a plan for your money? For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first, count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You need a plan for your money. Now, that's just being a good steward. That's not trusting your money. It's just the money that I have, I'm going to use it in the way that God says I should use my finances. So you begin to apply God's wisdom from his word and how you handle money. So you need to have your money working for you, not you working for your money. Because if you work for your money, it becomes the boss. And you don't understand what it's doing or where it's going. In fact, at the end of the month, we say, where did the money go? We had no plan, so we don't know where the money went. Every dollar that you have, you should give it a name and a place to go. That's called a budget. I used to think that you only needed a budget when you were short of funds. And so a budget helped you get through difficult times because you didn't have enough money. That was a faulty view of a budget. I find now when I have, the Lord has blessed me with more than what I need to live, even more so, I need to be a good steward of the things God has given me. And so I need to make sure that every dollar I have is assigned. And where does God want that money to be used and spent? A budget is necessary for everyone. Here's what it says in Proverbs 21:20. There is a desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. So you need to be wise in the things of God and not squander that what God has given to you. Listen to Isaiah 55:2. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. You'd be amazed at what abundance you have, even with the funds you have. When you don't waste it, when you're putting it in proper places, and you listen carefully to the Lord, as it says here, and you're doing what the Lord is telling you to do with your funds, because it's not your source, God's your source. So if he tells me to give, I'm going to obey him. I'm not going to be looking and trying to reason out in my mind why my bank account won't allow that. I'm going to trust God. And if I see a need, I'm going to meet that need according to what God wants. And it's amazing how if you delight yourself in that, the Lord will give you an abundance. Now let me just say this and we'll fill it in. I can't take a long time on this. This statement alone is worth a message or two. God's way is giving and receiving. Mammon's way is buying and selling. The system of this world is to buy and sell. Buy low, sell high. It's transactional. It's every transaction, look for a profit. Buying, selling. That's the world system. Now, we're in the world, but we're not of it. It shouldn't be what governs our use of our funds is not buying and selling. So if I can cheat you a little bit, if you're ignorant a little bit of what a thing is worth, I'll offer you less. I get a good deal. But if I get a good deal, that means the other person's gotten a bad deal. So every time you feel real good about yourself, I got a good deal on that, ask yourself, what about the other side? Did they get a bad deal? Now, sometimes it's not bad. Sometimes stores put things on sale. They're moving stuff out. It's not, they're happy, you're happy. But usually in personal transactions, if you got a good deal, then the other person got a bad deal. And the Lord doesn't like that. He likes equal balance, as the Proverbs says. He wants you to give a service and get a fair price for it, and vice versa. And so, but the way of the world is buying and selling. But God's way is giving and receiving. Giving. Giving to something. I mean, giving it and letting it go. Not trying to control it. I'm not just giving to invest, I'm giving to give. A lot of people give to invest. I'm giving, but God better bless me back. And again, because their whole mindset is money. And the blessing is going to come back in money. Where God just says, give. It might come back in other ways. He knows your needs. But you just have to give. And God will cause you to receive. It really is an amazing principle. And like I say, I'm just going to leave it. But I could, you know, we could talk a long time about that. That's how your mind's renewed in the area of money. You got to get free of buying and selling and start giving and receiving. Here's how the verses say here in Luke 6:38. Give, it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So the Lord says, how you receive is dependent upon how you give. If you give in small amounts, then you'll receive in small amounts. If you use a larger measure, like a bushel basket, you give it in bushels, it'll come back in bushels. Give it in truckloads, it comes back in truckloads. The same measure you use to give, it's going to come back to you. Now, that's God's principle. And I tell you, you won't fall into that naturally. That you do that with faith in God. Because everything within me says, if I give, I have less. But the Bible says, if I give, I'm going to have more. Because God's in the equation. And so I'm trusting God. I'm not trusting my money. See, the rich young ruler came to Jesus. And he said, you know, I want to follow you, have eternal life. And Jesus said, well, keep the commandments. He said, I've kept them all. I go to the temple all the time. He said, I do this and I do that. And I've never killed anyone. I've never cheated. I've never committed adultery. I've never lied. He went through all the list. I've done it all. But then Jesus touches the one little area that he knows that's got his heart. And he says, sell all that you have. Give it to the poor and come and follow me. And the rich young ruler turns and goes away sad. Here he was doing all the religious stuff. Here he was living a good life, feeling like I've satisfied God, and yet money, mammon, still had a control of him. And I think, man, I see that in me, don't you? I mean, it's not a he and them, you know. I still have to wrestle with this. It's so easy to slip from trusting God to trusting money. And you got to just be renewed in your mind every day. I think I shared a while ago, I was watching this program and it was a giving, you know, and I turned it off. And the Lord, I felt the Lord say, well, why'd you turn that off? It was like, it was a Christian program. It was James Robinson. I knew he was going to make an appeal to help someone. And he turned on, and he said, why did you turn that off? I mean, in my mind. And I said, well, he was going to make an appeal and I didn't necessarily want to hear it. And the Lord said, well, you were afraid you'd be prompted to give? And I had to say yes. And I realized in that moment, I didn't, because I knew I would have a soft heart. And I knew God would prompt me. And I didn't want it. And see how it grips you? And I went back, turned that program on, and sure enough. But you know, it was such a blessing to give and to call and make a pledge, because I realized God was doing something in me. He was testing me again in the area of money. Do you think you're going to have less? That's what he said to me. Do you think you're going to have less by giving? Oh, man, that's a question. And I knew in my heart, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that's sort of how I'm thinking. And the Lord's saying, but that's not how I am. Given it shall be given unto you. You're not going to be worse off for giving. But see how easy it grips us? I'm right where with all of you as we work our way through this. But I tell you, God's way is always the best way. Here's Revelation 13, 17. This is speaking about the end of time when the world system crumbles and it really comes down to the crunch. Now listen to what it says here. No one may buy or sell except one has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So there's going to come a time when you can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. Now, I don't know how that displays out at the end. But I tell you, there's still a mark of the beast in the world today, whether it's a literal mark or not. It's a mark on your heart where you trust money. But there's going to come a time when there's going to be no buying or selling. And are you going to stand for God? Because you're not in that system. Your giving is unto the Lord and you're going to receive from his hand. There's a freeing power in that. Here's your last fill-in. Learn to give. Learn to give. You have to learn to give. At least I have to. Kay is just naturally generous. But I've had to learn to give. I've had to decide to give. And I'm telling you all my secrets. But I remember years ago, when God began to prompt this to me, and I realized how much I was trusting money, and I came up with this thing. Every month, I was just going to give someone a gift, you know, a good gift. I did that for I don't know how long. It was just a decision I made. I'm going to do this. It was almost like a discipline to break that within me, to learn to give. And so some of you just need to learn to give in obedience to God's word. And it exercises these truths within you. And it purifies your heart when you learn to give. Listen to what it says in 1 Timothy 6:17. I already read verse 17 about command those who are rich in this age not to be haughty, not to trust, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. The next verse, let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, ready to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, man, there's a whole hour message in that. But let me just say, you can't take your money with you, but you can transfer it. If you give on earth according to God's direction, you are laying up for yourself a foundation in heaven. And that foundation is your abode and your place that you're going to occupy in heaven. Somehow in your giving on earth, doing the work of God, not relying on earthly philosophy, not trusting money, but you give as the Lord prompts you. That actually, you're laying up a foundation in heaven for your future. Now that is a powerful concept when you think about it. But I'm just going to leave it at that. So, how should we give? Well, let's just finish this message off like this. It starts with the tithe. We are to give a tithe of the Lord. The Bible says that the tithe is the Lord. So what's a tithe? It's 10%. So if you make $1,000, a tithe of $1,000 is $100. It's one-tenth. I remember when I was a little boy, Dad would go into church, and he'd give me some change. It was a dollar. And he'd say, now, Kenny, make sure you put a dime in the offering. I was taught from my parents from the very beginning to give a tenth of everything I received. And to their benefit and to the glory of God, to my knowledge, I've never earned a dollar in my life that I haven't given a tenth of it to the church. But that's credit to my parents who taught me in the ways of the Lord. And as I've followed that, I've been amazed at the blessings that come upon my life as a result of it. To give a tithe, it's the Lord's. It doesn't belong to us. That's how I see the scripture teaching. It's how he finances his work on earth. It's his flat tax for being on earth. You give a tithe. It's a weekly reminder that I'm not trusting my money. and I'm trusting God. Because if you give God 10%, he promises to bless the 90% left in your hand way more than what the 100% would do. Now, it's not just tithe or 10%, but it's the first 10%. So if you get your pay, or you got $1,000 that week working, and they give you 10 $100 bills, which $100 bill is your tithe? It's the one you touch first. And this is something that I have learned to do. I never used to, you know, I tithe. Sometimes I get behind in my tithe and I get caught up, but no longer. I've already paid my tithe for this coming week. When I came in this morning, I went and already paid my tithe on the check that I'll cash tomorrow. It's the first 10%. You know what? It's not hard to tithe. It's easy when you give them the first 10%. It's hard if you borrowed a lot of money and you're in debt and you're living beyond your means, and so you pay all your bills, and then at the end you go, well, I'd like to tithe, but there's no money left. I can't afford to tithe. Listen, you can't afford not to tithe. If you give the Lord the first 10%, just watch what he does with the 90. I tell you, I could tell you story after story after story of my own life, my parents' life, people I know. Someone after the first service came to me between and just told me a story that they started to give the first. They said, we're like you. We started to give the first. That was the first thing we did, was give our tithe. And she went on to tell me how God blessed their life. And just a young couple. And said, this happened, and this happened, and this happened. We couldn't believe it. When we started to put God first and practice what he said. Because God loves to show himself strong in the area of money. Because money is the God of this world. And when you put God ahead of money, God just loves to prove himself in that. And you'll just see the windows of heaven open up, as the Bible says. Bring your tithe into the storehouse and just see if he doesn't open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you can't even receive. This is the promise of God's word. Now listen, I got to say carefully. If you give in order to get, that's not what it's saying. You give to give. You give with no strings attached. You give not expecting anything back. But God says, you give, I will bless you back. So it's not like, and I've had some people say, well, I gave my tithe and nothing happened that week. And I say, you know what, but you're giving to get. I mean, God doesn't want a spirit that gives to get. He wants to have a spirit to give. And then he blesses that when your heart is right. So you start with the tithe, and after that, it says in Acts 20:35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. Remember the words of Jesus that he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, if money is your source, you will not believe that, because you'll be much happier when you get than when you give. But the more your mind is aligned with God and the teaching of Jesus, you'll begin to see it is better to give. Because not only am I giving, and I'm meeting a need, and I'm getting the joy of blessing someone else, and I've just let that go. Now, God's going to meet your needs. You don't have to worry about it. He's going to bless you back in some way. And so it's better to give than it is to receive. There's nothing more of a blessing to give beyond your tithe. And that's really when the fun part starts. You know, you start giving to needs, projects, the monies that I've given to the building fund, the money that I give to Walk of Lights, and we're going to be receiving an offering in a few weeks for Walk of Lights. That's money beyond and above the tithe to me. I'm now giving to a need to bless the kingdom of God and to bless the community and to cause people to know about Jesus. And so I give beyond the tithe. And I give to people that come knocking at the door for the Heart Association. And you give to whatever you see. I've been sitting in restaurants, and God's prompted me, pay for their meal. And when I ask Keiko, she's always, yeah, let's do that. Today is a big decision. We're going to pay for their meal. Yeah, let's do that, she says. And anonymously, without anybody knowing, just paying for the meal and telling the waitress. Don't tell them, just tell someone that took care of their meal. And there's such a joy in that. When you can just do that and bless people and see that someone has a need and you just give anonymously to them. There's such a joy that comes into your heart. And you think God misses that? If you do that genuine from heart, are you going to have less as a result of that? No, God might not bless you with money. He might bless you in another way. Or it may come in money. You never know, but you're not giving to get. You're just giving to bless people. Here's our last verse, 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply in multitude the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. When you truly give as unto the Lord, it is like a seed. And you just give it as unto the Lord. You see, a gift may leave your hand, but it never leaves your life when you give it as unto the Lord. There will be blessings that will come back. But you don't give it with strings attached. You don't even give it with expectation. You just give as unto the Lord. But just know the word of God promises he's going to multiply that back to you. It's going to come back in many, many different ways. You've been gracious sticking with me today. One final thing, and I'll just tell you about it. I also included this little sheet that's called Faithfully Handle Your Money. Give each dollar a name and a place to go. This is a budget that Kay and I have used, and I just encourage you, you can use this or something similar or make your own, but this is something that we have found has been a blessing in our life. We just list all the monthly income that comes from all the sources. And then my monthly commitments. Now, these are not discretionary. These just are automatic. Tithe to the Lord. Giving to others. And you can, there's no particular percentage here. It's just how God leads you. Like I say, a need comes up, you give to that. Project comes up, you give to that. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, you just give. And then I suggest you put 10% of your income into investments of some sort. And again, that's a whole sermon within itself. How to get your money working for you and having God's wealth. You don't desire to be rich, but you desire to steward God's wealth. And so I'm just going to leave it at that. But put 10% into investments in some way. And then, of course, there's the federal provincial income tax. Aren't you glad the government knows that if they take that first, you don't even miss it? They take that off your paycheck right away. Anyway, that's your, to me, that's just given. And then you have the rest is your discretionary budget. And through here is house payment, automobiles, food, entertainment, clothing, loans, gifts. And just write down everything and live within your means. And if you don't have enough money to get everything you want right now, just give it to the Lord. And be willing just to live within your means. And you'll be surprised how God will bless you. And how, I remember one time, I'm going too long here. But I remember one time sitting down years ago, we were on vacation, and I was trying to work on finances, and I thought, I want to pay the house off, and what would I have to do to pay the house off? And I was there, and I was praying, and I figured out it was going to take me 15 years, and I'd have the house paid off. It was about 3 years later, I realized I had the house paid off. It was just the blessing of the Lord. And so you plan, but you leave it to the Lord. And be content with where you are. You don't need to buy that thing if you don't have the money. If God provides it, let him provide it. When the money comes and then you feel release, then you buy it. But don't overextend yourself. Don't be looking to money and I got to get money and I'll borrow money. It becomes a bondage to you. Just live free in the Lord. Realize everything you have belongs to God. And you're going to experience a freedom. It's called financial freedom. that you could never even imagine. Let's stand with me today. Thank you again. We've gone a bit long today, but hopefully this has been a blessing to you. Let me pray for us. Father, we realize how susceptible we are to succumbing to the spirit of mammon and relying on ourselves and what we have and not looking to you. And I ask, Lord, that seeds be planted in people's hearts here. Something will have been said that will free them and allow them, Lord, to live in a liberty and a freedom they've never experienced before, allowing you to cause them to be a conduit where freely they've received from you and freely they give to others. And Lord, we ask that you would just minister to us. Maybe be people that qualify for true riches because we've handled finances well. We ask for your spirit to enable us. In Jesus' name, amen. Sign up for whatever you need to sign up. If you're first